Hi, this is AV Krista, also known as Krista Bender, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
This is the Mad Sound Guy, Chuck Espinoza, and I'm selling earplugs for $5 a piece because you're listening to AV Power Up.
I want some.
Hi, this is Stacy Kringlin at Vadio Stacy, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
This is Hope Roth at Beer and Pie, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
Hi, this is Rich Prevetti, soon to be audiovisual geek extraordinaire. Please tweet me at Richard Prevetti. And this is coming to you live from AV Power Up.
Not soon enough. Hi, this is Corey Moss at CB Moss on Twitter. And you are listening to AV Power Up on Rave Pubs Radio with your host, Krista Bender. Take it away, Krista.
Hello, hello. I am going to break the mold and start off the show by thanking our sponsor before we get too far into the muck. And that's a big special thank you to Ingram Micro. With multiple locations throughout the world, they can help you with your AV or IT needs. Ingram Micro offers technology resellers a broad selection of programs and services and welcomes all business sizes to join the Ingram Micro programs and communities.
How many business sizes are there?
Small, medium, large, extra large if you're Chuck.
Triple XL, maybe.
I am extra large.
extra small if you're Stacy. Yeah.
Right. Stacy's an extra small. Make sure you count that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So okay. Many, many sizes. So we have a fantastic lineup of people tonight for guests.
Fantastic. It's definitely fantastic.
Yes, they are very fantastic.
Yes.
So one of our guests is Aaron Bolton. One of our guests is Jane Johnson. And one of our guests is Brad Grimes. And Aaron and Jane happen to be sitting next to each other in the same room.
Is this a first?
It is.
We've been doing this show for like 5 years, and this is the first time I think we've ever had two people sitting in the same room.
We wanted to make a mark if we were going to be guests on the show. We wanted to make sure that it was memorable.
Okay. So, yes, this is a memorable moment for AV Power Up. We'll never forget this 10 years from now that you were the trendsetters. Now, I think everybody who wants to be on the show from now on is going to, you know, be in the same room or try to be in the same room, you know, fly to each other's state and, you know, and this is going to cause mass hysteria soon, but, you know.
You'll have more guests, more than you'll know what to, you and Krista will know what to do with.
It's, and, you know, get your drinking buddy, you go on AV Power Up.
I think this is actually a first. Not only do we have two guests in the same room, we have two guests.
We have
Jane and Aaron and Brad, so it's going to be up to our studio audience to guess who's who.
We have a caller inner.
Yes.
Is that like a caller outer, but backwards?
Well, it's not whatever.
At this point, Brad has put the phone down and walked away.
He's had it already. He's gone.
I'm in a room all by myself, so you'll never know.
We have perfect effect on people.
So tonight, our theme of tonight's show is we want to talk about the new Women of Infocom group and what does this mean for the AV industry. There is going to be a kickoff meeting and a breakfast held at Infocom in Orlando this year. And I really would like to hear what Jane and Aaron have to say about this great new group.
Great. Well, we are very excited about the Women of Infocom Network. It is a new council for Infocom. And so it's apropos-ly named such that the acronym is WIN, of course, Women of Infocom Network. And the council was created for both men and women in the AV and technology industries to support and really support and commit to the empowerment of women in technology and AV. So I chair the council, and I have two fabulous co-chairs, Jane Johnson of Pivot Communications and Kelly Perkins of Vadio. So our goal really is to provide these women a networking community to support them and to create a place where they feel empowered and have the network and an opportunity to communicate and learn about essentially anything that helps them to better themselves within technology or AV.
Mm-hmm. Or that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that that's being done is through a LinkedIn group. So you can go out on LinkedIn and look for the Infocom Women Infocom Network group, and you'll find all kinds of fun posts on there, and you can join and contribute.
You can also join as a member. Again, it's for both women and men to join. It's not exclusive, but you can join through infocom.org/WACWIN. But that will give you all the information about the council, and as well as the opportunity to become a member. By becoming a member, then we will send you information, updates, such as you mentioned, Krista. We do have two upcoming events. The first is the Women of Infocom Breakfast at Infocom. It's on Thursday, June 18th, from 7:30 to 9:30 in the morning, so before the show floor opens. And this year, just like last year, we are hosting Sam Horn. She's a fabulous guest speaker, great keynote. And her topic is titled, Don't Just Lean In, Set Up to Create the Career You Want, Need, and Deserve. And she is a really powerful speaker. She had the audience so engaged last year, and so we brought her back because everyone was so excited. And really, you know, she just was motivating to the group of women. So
I totally missed it last
year. Jane missed it. Darn it.
I missed it last year as well, because by the time I realized I was going to Infocom, the breakfast had sold out.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get in. However, I'm going this year, and great. I am bringing, there's four people from my company, but another person going with me is a female, and she's never been to Infocom, and I was able to secure her and I tickets to the breakfast on Thursday morning. So anyone listening to this show, I assume there's still seats available. And if you're going to Infocom, whether you're a man or a woman, please sign up now before the seats all fill up, because I was disappointed I missed it last year, and I'm excited to be there this year.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
That's- and did you get a chance to fill out the form, or have your friend that's coming with you fill out the form on the Infocom site? Because now it works, and you will get kickback and email response, which is very exciting.
So is that how someone would join the WIN committee, is you go on the website and fill out the form?
Yes, Chuck, you're exactly right. So you simply go to infocom.org/WIN, and there's a membership form that you can fill out. And like I said, then you become part of the council, and we will send information, updates, like I said, information about the breakfast at Infocom, but also council meetings. So our very first WIN council meeting is directly after the breakfast, the Women of Infocom breakfast. So from 9:30 to 10:30 in the same room, right after the breakfast, we will be having our very first council meeting. And again, that's open to men and women. It's been surprising how many men think this is not open to them, but it's really open to any Infocom member. Because we realize that although a lot of women have different experiences, there are absolutely both men and women out there that support women in technology and AV.
And, you know, that's absolutely great, Erin, because, yes, men are invited to be in the group and certainly encouraged to be in the group, as well as women. And hopefully there are a good amount of men that will join up and listening tonight. Or listening to this show, you know, yes, courage to join the Women of Infocom group, the network. Please do. Absolutely.
Yep. This is something that, as a relative newcomer to the industry, I'm taking notes again, Corey. And I'm as soon as we're done, I'm going to log on to the site and check it out.
Rich, that's great. Thank you so much. And Brad, I know that you've been aware of the council as well, and being at Infocom headquarters in Fairfax, everyone is so excited there about the council. They have wanted this council for a long time. And I know myself and my peers, we've worked really hard to create this council, but maybe you can talk to us a little about the enthusiasm you've experienced at Infocom around the council.
Well, I mean, you're right, Erin. And as you know, from working on this from the inside, I mean, Infocom doesn't set up a council just because we sat around a room and said, you know, we need a council like this. We set up councils because members, you know, ask for it. Members say we need a council for whether it's consultants or independent programmers or whatever it may be. We operate several councils for people who want to coalesce around their special interests or initiatives that they have or things that they want the association to get done. And this was something that members like yourself were interested in doing and encouraged us to establish. So we were grateful that Aaron stepped forward to be chair of the group. We've got a couple of staff liaisons who work on it. Melissa Taggart, who is the senior VP of education, certification, and standards now. She's senior VP of a lot of things. And Betsy Jaffe, who's the VP of communications. They're both staff liaisons who work on this. And there are a lot of other people who work on this. And one of the early things, I mean, the council's relatively new. The LinkedIn groups are, you know, thank you for mentioning those, Aaron. Those are brand new. What we instantly found is that this was a, you know, international thing. I mean, we had members from Brazil, Australia, Latin America, Europe, all over requesting their own resources, requesting their own meetings, requesting their own events. If you go into the LinkedIn group, there's a Women of Infocom Network LinkedIn group, but there are subgroups that international members requested we set up. So that took us by surprise in a short time that the international reach was so great. So yes, you're right. It's been an exciting launch of this council, and we look forward to its progress going forward.
Great. That's so great to hear that. And we really have had a great deal of support from Infocom. And it really does, Brad, demonstrate Infocom's commitment to really all of its members, the needs of all of its members. So for Infocom to step up and demonstrate their support to women, but by being inclusive so that it's not just exclusively for women, it really is demonstrating their commitment to raising awareness of gender equality and gender inclusion in a male-dominated industry like AV. And so for them to really take the lead on that is just so impressive. And I know that all of the women that I have talked to are so excited about the council, so excited about the commitment from Infocom. And there's a real genuine enthusiasm and excitement around this. And so the first year is really focused on building awareness and building membership. And each year thereafter, we can begin to focus on opportunities to advance careers, to advance awareness, to introduce awards and recognition, and really help women, and certification, really help women take their careers in technology and AV to the next level through the assistance of a community like Infocom and the Association of Infocom to support them through that.
I love that you bring up certification. That's a great one, because for the heck of it, I Googled today how many Crestron programmers are female, mm-hmm. and Google didn't recognize my question. It just took me right to Crestron programming and the search you need for that.
Did it bring you to Hope Roth?
No, it should have. So we're lucky to know a female programmer. And
we have one on this show.
I was going to say, I think there's maybe 10 of us.
All 10 of you?
Yeah.
I was talking to a Crestron employee at Masters Summit, and I was like, yeah, there's like 5 of us. And he's like, no, it's more than that. And then he started naming people by name, and I think he got pretty close to 10. And then I said, you know, the fact that you know everybody's names is probably a problem. Because
on two hands, no less.
Brad, go ahead. I'm sorry. I beat you to the punch there in talking.
No problem. The point I was going to make is that, and as Chuck knows, you know, workforce development is a big initiative of Infocom's, and Chuck's involvement in the certification committee was really critical in getting people excited about getting certified and getting involved in the agency or in the association and the industry. I mean, workforce development's a huge thing for the entire industry. Finding the next generation of great AV professionals, people who are tech savvy and have great skills and enthusiasm, and you know, it makes perfect sense to look in the broadest possible area, and that includes men and women. And so we want to encourage everybody to get excited about the industry and bring their skills and their perspectives and the way they approach AV and projects and the way they approach information technology and everything else. It would be, we'd be neglecting the industry if we only looked for the great, the next great generation in half the industry, because there's a lot of great minds out there. So that's an important part of the Women of Infocom Network initiative. From Infocom's point of view, we just want to find the great minds wherever they are, and we want to encourage everybody to get involved.
Mm, great.
You know, Krista, speaking of certification, I think it's only fair to let everybody know that it is Brad Grimes who wrote the textbook for certification. So if you're looking, Rich, to get certified, then Brad is the man you want to talk to.
Nice plug.
Oh, look at this. Hey, Rich, the guy's on the show. What do you know?
Thank you. And I do not give away copies. We must purchase them all.
Ah, there you go. Nothing is for free in this life.
I have my copy.
No, you sent me.
Go ahead.
Oh, you do? Wow.
I have one. Yep, I have one. It does.
The questions are added.
Hey, Rich, when Brad talks, start taking notes, and many of them, okay?
Actually, you know, Rich has been trying for, I don't know, a good while now, probably about a year or so, in getting his certification. And, you know, there's times where he'll call up me or my husband. We're both CTS certified, and, you know, he'll ask us questions or, you know, what did you think of that and this? And, you know, he's really taking the initiative and trying hard. Actually, Rich, if you don't mind, not to really put you on the spot, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about what you're doing at your job to help further allow certifications?
I work at Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, and I work for a company called Flick, which is the division of Compass Group, and we have seven employees located in three different states who have taken the test or are about to, and some of us have taken it, need to take it again. I'm one of them. We've just started an online CTS study group, and just identify our weaknesses and have developed a little homework assignment that we go over for the last month approximately to just increase our knowledge online. Every Friday we meet. And it's really been a great experience. It was a very anxiety-filled test for me when I took it back in November. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm still smarter for taking it. Everybody kind of giggles a little bit, but that's okay. That's really about it in a nutshell. And it's... we do a lot of online work rather than using the textbook, because it's just easier that way to hand out study assignments per chapter.
I was very excited, actually, when Rich told me he was taking up the initiative and heading this up at his job, because, you know, while tonight we're mainly talking about the women of women in Infocom Network, you know, and how that was a need and desire, like what Rich is describing is a need and desire. There's so many people that want to take the CTS, whether it's the regular one, the I, the D, anything. And, you know, sometimes they just need help or a study buddy. And I think it's great that he gets together with, you know, other co-workers so that they can help each other, and hopefully, you know, when it's time that they go around and take the test, whether it's the first time or second time, that this time they'll pass.
Yeah, hats off to you, Rich. I mean, that what you just said really hits me hard. Like when you said myself and guys get together on Friday night and we do this, there's a lot of things you can be doing on Friday night. And like, I know when I'm trying to recruit new techs to be apprentices and whatnot, I have a story I tell where I went to an auto shop from my high school, and what I do is look for the kids who are working on their, you know, their old beat up cars on Friday nights instead of going out and partying. That shows dedication. That shows like I give a damn about what I'm doing. I'm sacrificing my weekend time. The workday is done, but I'm not done. So hats off to you, my friend.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. It, and that
Go ahead.
And it's not an easy test. I mean, I've been in the AV industry for 10 years. I've been CTS certified for quite a few of them. But, you know, it's one of those ones you can't just do a brain dump. You can't just memorize stuff because you have to take three different pieces of information, know the correct answer for all of them, and then put them together for one question. So I always tell people taking the test, just remember how big a ceiling tile is and you'll be fine. It's like, it's been a while since I took it, but it's like, you gotta know, like, this is the reflected ceiling plan. And so this is how I do the math of figuring out how far away this is. So I figure out the throw, and then I have to know the resolution of the projector. And then by the time you get to that point, most people have gone cross-eyed. So.
And there's a lot more to it than just the like installation or design part. I mean, there's questions on the CTS general test about, there's some marketing questions. You know, they want you to not know the ins and outs of the marketing business, but you have to know the difference between a horizontal and a vertical. You know, they want to know that you can tell what the different categories from that are. They want to know that you know a little bit about, you know, HR in the industry. They want to know that you know a little bit about business development and sales. So it's not strictly a, hey, I'm a tech or I'm a designer and I'm going to take this test and crush it. You have to know a little bit about everything in the industry.
Oh, and I totally agree with that. Like when we, the previous owner, well, the man who started Vadio, when he started it a couple of years ago, he said, hey, if anyone wants to get CTS certified, you know, here, sign up, whatever, Vadio will pay for your test and all that. So a bunch of us did that. Well, then the first couple of people who took the test, they didn't pass. And we were like, well, it must be more than just reading the book then. So then it was someone from this department came and was like, I'm going to do a study group for everybody. You know, we'll sit down for 2 days, you know, for X amount of time after work. This is, you know, and that helped a ton because it's way more than just reading the book. And for me, I'm not an installer. I'm not anything like that. So all I could do was read the book, but it helped a lot more hearing someone else tell me, hey, I've done this. This is what you need to know.
You know, it's interesting too, because when I started in integration sales, I was actually going out with installers to start. To really see the job from that perspective, how they were doing the job, talking to project managers, even engineers. And, you know, and yeah, the product training, you know, your CTS and everything, but really, you know, that helped get a real well-rounded look at how this thing ran from all sides. And Stacy, you being in manufacturing, Hope, you being on the programming side, all of us specializing in certain things, you know, if you see different perspectives of the jobs, you know, it can certainly help in terms of rounding out your knowledge in the industry as well.
Sure. Oh, for sure.
Well, and Hope, you are a real inspiration to women in terms of not only your certification, but the fact that you are one of those very few technical expertise. You have that expertise, and you know, the fact that you are just very few, be it that you're male or female, that's a real inspiration to women. I have to tell you, when we talk to women in the industry and they hear about the WIN Council, one of the first topics of conversation is that they feel as though if they are certified, then they are taken more seriously. And so they are always talking about if they're certified or how to get certified. And so when you go on to the Infocom website, we have offered up a link for more information about certification. But gosh, Hope, I would so encourage you to go to our LinkedIn group and maybe even have a post. And I can prompt that post because you really could serve as a voice in that community about leading women and how to be certified and the importance of it and how it really has been advantageous to you in your career, because that would really serve to lead other women in your footsteps.
And Kristen, Stacy as well, because yes, we're the only women on this call that are not certified.
Erin, I think they just muted themselves. Erin, the certification I have is, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Is I'm a Crestron certified programmer, and the running joke is whenever I call tech support and they start to talk down to me, I tell them I'm a Crestron certified programmer. Cut it out. Because a lot of times you call and they just assume you don't know what you're talking about, which is a real problem in our industry. And I think part of it is that we just need more women in the industry. Because yeah. I know we've talked about this on previous shows that there's a tendency to do that too. You talk to a woman and you just sort of assume, because most of the women that you meet are sales, marketing, maybe project management, stuff like that. You just kind of tend to assume that that's the role that they're in. And it's not a good assumption to make, and it's one thing that I challenge myself on all the time.
And you know what, Jane, and I'm sorry, you can continue, Hope, but I'll say Jane, Aaron, and Brad, I will put up all the money I have and anybody's in the world that Hope holds her own just about against any guy in this industry program.
Okay? Well, that's because
I'm going to go on record right now to say this.
That's because I fight dirty, but yeah.
That is
part of the problem that you have as a woman in this industry, is you have to be at the absolute top of your game to be taken seriously a lot of the time. So, I mean, yeah. It's one thing that has driven me very far in my career, and it's caused me to be the best programmer I could be. But, you know, I went to my very first Crestron class, six, seven, 8 years ago, and I walked in the room and everybody's like, who's that? And part of that first class is they have these lights up on the wall and you're supposed to make a little thing that, you know, makes the lights light up. And my lights went up, and then everybody else's lights went up about 10 minutes later. And then they were like, oh, okay, respect, you know, and you shouldn't have to do that. They should just take you seriously when you walk in the room. But, you know, it's definitely driven me to be a better programmer, to be better at AV, to be better at my job. But I think it does make it hard for anyone to come in and do it who just doesn't like live, breathe, love this stuff, because they come in, they get the attitude, somebody assumes that they're in sales. I mean, I've had people come up to me after trainings and be like, did you understand that? Do you want to explain? Like, this is a refresher for me. I'm here for the free donuts.
You know what?
Swag.
You know, Hope, I've had it on the other side too, because I am on the sales and marketing side.
And there's nothing wrong with sales and marketing.
No, but like, you know, I've over the years, because I've been doing it for quite a while, I dabble enough into the sales estimating part where I can, you know, do a pretty decent job of guesstimating up front of how much a project's going to cost, how many man hours, what labor we're doing, and all this. And at my previous job, one of the things I asked to be able to do was to go for my CTSD, and they denied me. They said they didn't see why I would need to have that.
No.
So I've been told by men in the industry that there's no reason for me to get a CTSD.
Those guys are retarded.
I think that's going to be a flashpoint right there. Yeah.
You know, those guys are definitely retarded.
And yes, Chuck has, you know, put it pretty blatantly here.
I have huge issue with that, because one of my colleagues on the CTSI test writing committee, Sarah Becker, CTSI, CTSD, she's one of the few people in the industry that when we start going head to head on knowledge about installation, she gives me a run for my money. And, you know, we get into these heated arguments of, you know, these like passionate arguments of, no, this is the way you do it. No, this is the way you do it. And everybody else in the room are looking at him like, we don't know what those guys are talking about. And her and I, like, I have so much respect for her. And I mean, we're great friends. We love each other dearly. And she's one of the few people that truly really challenges me when we start talking about in-depth installation questions. And I mean, I live in kind of a shelter. Vice President of AVTS is a female. My former boss at AVC, Carol Peters, female. The last warrant officer in the Marine Corps I had, who was the biggest influence on my leadership, was a female. So I, like, to me, it's like I'm going to learn something from her.
Great, yeah. That's great, Chuck.
Just as a counterpoint to that, at my last job, I started in the engineering department the same day as another woman, and we were the first women in that engineering department since the 80s. And it is a very, it was a very, very, very pro women company. It's just that there's not a lot of women that do what we do. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were incredibly supportive. And anytime I had a problem with a vendor, they backed me up. You know, I wasn't like, it's not something that people do consciously. And if anything, you get that first look because you're a woman sometimes, and then you have to, you know, show that you have the skills to back it up. But I know that there are a lot of people who are looking for qualified women. There's just not very many of us, and there need to be more.
You're right. And Hope, again, to have that experience of support from another peer that's a woman is so advantageous. And that's part of the goal of WIN, is to give women that community, because I've talked to so many women that work alone and they're working against the perceptions. They haven't had that experience that you did, where you actually had a peer and you could go through a very good experience and be supported. So I think that's where we as professionals within the AV industry need to express our support of these women, so they do feel a part of this community where we really are excited to support them and empower them. So, and I think the way to do that is through LinkedIn, where we can have that one-to-one communication and one-to-all communication as well.
Well, and I think, and growing your skills too, because I will say that, you know, being part of marketing, you get challenged all the time. As part of my job, I have to interview engineers, and that's always a treat because engineers have a very specific personality, and they just always assume you know nothing. So you always have to prove yourself, and then they go, oh, wait, you actually do know something. Even though you're in marketing, you actually you're following the conversation. And I wish I could say, like, oh, I'm a Crestron certified programmer, or I have my CTS. And so sometimes I'll trot out I have a level 90 paladin, you know, something to you guys. Sometimes it does.
Well, you should get your CTS and then you'll be all set. We should do a WIN CTS study group.
That's a great idea.
I would happily I already have my CTS, but I should probably get my CTSD.
Hey, maybe we could study together and then tell all those people that Chuck likes to call retards that we can do it.
Let's all study together. This should be a lot of fun. Chuck, bring the beers.
I will. I'll bring them all.
Okay.
Good. I'll drink them all.
Oh, by the way, there's your next woman in AV up there with Stacy. Okay.
That's hi, Natalie. Nice.
Oh, look at her. Oh, my goodness.
Say hi.
Hi, Natalie.
She's wearing her Vadio t-shirt.
Look at her. Awesome. All right. Where's the Vadio?
She's legit. So I want to segue over to Corey, because he brought up a couple of great articles that revolve around women and technology, and I'd like for him to go into a bit more detail about what those articles describe.
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, the women in AV and all that's been going on, I've been pretty close to it for quite some time. And, you know, women like Corey Schaefer, Marla Suttenberg, who I know very well. I interviewed Corey for a Rave interview article. You know, again, kind of, you know, kept up with everything. And, you know, I've been looking at a few things here. Women of Infocom Breakfast at ISE 2015 is kind of where things, I guess, started there, where the visibility was. Sound and Video Contractor talked about Women of Infocom Council established in March 18th. So, you know, I guess really, and then announcing Women of Infocom Network Council chaired by Erin Bolton. And so I guess, Erin, that was kind of the first knowledge of your being involved in the Infocom, Women of Infocom Council at that point.
Correct. That was really when we went live with the council, although it had been established at the beginning of 2015. We needed to put the foundational work together and then announced it. And we did some international breakfasts, as you mentioned, at ISC. And then we have the breakfast at Infocom. We've had some coverage in the media with SCN. We did some PR, so that was picked up. And then I'm a contributing editor for SCN, so they will have an article in the June Infocom edition regarding the Wind Council as well. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to, as I said, that first year just gain traction and membership.
Recruit. Yes, Jane, you're right. Recruit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, it's interesting. At the end of this, it was a very short article, but at the end it said men are cordially invited. So it looks like at that point they were telling men, please do, please do come.
Absolutely, Corey. And we've realized since then in our conversations, we need to escalate that message because men are thinking it is exclusive to women. And that's very, very much not our approach. Mm-hmm. We want women to be included. So of course we would not exclude men. And just as you all on the show, all the men on the show are very supportive of women in AV, there are so many men in this industry that are supportive and want to be members and want, or pardon me, mentors, and want to really help guide, support, and empower women. And so we want to make sure that those gentlemen have the opportunity to essentially raise their hand and say, hey, I'm here to be an advocate for the women in this industry. So it is an inclusive council.
Yeah. No, and that's very, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just keep interrupting people. I'm sorry, guys. I was just going to say, I think that's a great point, too, because there are so few women in our industry that I think it really is up to the men to sort of help to make new women coming into the industry comfortable. You know what I mean? There's not sort of that critical mass of women that can say, hey, welcome, let's show you the ropes. So you kind of do need your allies to step up and first of all, acknowledge when things are not going well in a job site and say, hey, you know what? Not cool. Don't say that. And also just to be supportive, welcoming, encouraging, you know, we need more Corys and Chucks and Riches.
Exactly.
And Brad.
I'm sorry. Brad just looks like a little circle with a phone on it right now.
So I've been approached about being cloned before. I've been approached about being cloned, so it's a possibility. Yeah.
Do I show up as something?
You show up as a little phone in a circle. Yeah,
you're a phone. You're the phone number.
But you know, this is an interesting as well to kind of tag team on Hope's thoughts. There is that our industry is also changing. It 10 or however long ago, 12 years ago, whenever it was that I started in this industry, it was it tended to be heavily dominated with males, and a lot of the males tended to be 40 years old and up, and it's changing, and as they're getting older and retiring or whatever that's going on, and it's a big shift, you know, and you're coming to younger people that are getting elevated into higher positions and or more technical positions. So there's a shift in the industry in general, and it to see the women be included in this as well is awesome. It's really great. I can't think in the various other industries I worked at briefly before I fell into this industry, I can't think of any kind of council in general that assisted the workers like Infocom does, period, before you even include the women of Infocom. So it's fantastic to have a resource like Infocom to help all of the resellers and manufacturers through the muck that is our days. Mm-hmm.
Now, this was actually going to bring me into my next thing here, and this is going to get Brad involved. So Brad Grimes, Infocom International, All Voices, blogs, and Brad does a weekly reading. And this one in particular, Brad, was March 30th of this year. And one of the things you linked to was stats on women in tech are actually getting worse by a Huffington Post. I guess you remember that one, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember that story because, you know, it definitely had a relationship to what we were looking at for the Women of Infocom Council.
Okay. Do you see any pertinence from such an article? Because when you talk about women in technology, it's well known, especially in IT, they certainly, and I think there were some stats in this particular article about in 2020, either I saw it here or somewhere else, that the jobs that are going to be available and those who are going to be available to be put into those jobs, you know, there's going to be a great need. And there's certainly a great need for, you know, and women to be able to go into those jobs. And the same in the AV industry as well. And Jane and Aaron and anybody else involved here, I think we're looking at the same thing where, you know, we're looking to really encourage women in the industry. And again, the hopes, the Kristas, the Stacys, to really want to not only get into the industry, but excel in the industry as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you can probably find studies that will tell you one thing or the other, that, that things are getting more difficult or things are getting better. The underlying message is the same, is that we're sort of at the beginning here of raising the awareness of women in information technology, audiovisual systems technology, engineering, science, math. I mean, the STEM stats across both genders are not very optimistic. I mean, STEM and science and technology, basically science, technology, and math, or engineering and math, are not great across the country. I mean, that's a, it's a problem that we have whether you're a man or a woman. We're just not getting enough young people involved in these industries, which is, again, why workforce development is so important to Infocom. I mean, we get out into high schools. Our philanthropic foundation, the ICIF, issues grants and scholarships to young people, men and women, to get involved in these techie industries that are unfortunately getting short shrift by our young people. So on the women's side, it's, you know, it's at the beginning of things. I mean, we definitely need to encourage women to get involved in science and technology fields. It's important to us. I don't think that, you know, we can necessarily, as this article in the Huffington Post stated, you know, draw any conclusions early, except that the, there's a lot more to do. And we're trying to do that, and Aaron's trying to do that, and the council's trying to do that.
I think the great takeaway here, though, is the opportunities are there, and women who are or could be interested, there are the opportunities. It's not a closed door. It's not a halfway closed door. The door is open. So, and Jane and Aaron, you know, come into the conversation on that. The door is wide open as far as I can see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is open. From our perspective, we need to remind other women that it's open to them. And to hear that, not just from the women in the industry, but from the men, is really powerful. So it's great that we have, that we're listening to advocates today, mm-hmm. because that will reverberate into the future and remind these women that they do. Because we feel a part of the AV community. We feel a part of the Infocom community. But we need to bring other women into that community that don't realize this support structure is there for them.
I think that's where these types of groups and like the LinkedIn group really help, because, you know, I try to recruit writers and other folks to work with Pivot all the time. And women in particular tend to get really intimidated by technology. Oh, we write about what? No, I don't think I can learn that. And if they could see other women in the industry and join these groups and go, oh, wow, there's a lot of women that are actually learning this and mastering it, you know, I think that it can help motivate and inspire. And that's part of the value of these types of organizations and associations.
Absolutely. You know, 80% of all women will not ask for a mentor, but they consider it most critical in the advancement of their career. So if they're too intimidated to ask, then let's give them the opportunity for mentorship, for a sense of community through these through the council, mm-hmm. through these types of conversations. And if it's on a global basis, then we need to conduct that through groups like LinkedIn, through the council that's a global council.
With regional groups
mm-hmm. to support them through that, because it is intimidating for women to ask, but knowing that the community exists for them. That,
and there are a lot of other women that have been successful in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just like the women on the show. They become the inspiration, the mentors, without even asking. So that's truly the
goal.
They
just all got signed up to be mentors.
They did.
Did you see that?
Indeed they did.
I don't know that they know.
They don't know that. No, they don't.
There you go.
We sign you up. Very quickly.
That's right. That's the three great, of you.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point because, you know, I know a lot of women now, and I know a lot of women that I consider to be peers, and a lot of women that just impress the hell out of me now. But I'm thinking about back when I first got started, and I don't think I knew any women who did what I did. And I never had anyone. I kind of just sort of muddled through it on my own and figured things out. And I've always been very fortunate to have, you know, great male peers that were supportive, easy to approach, you know, could help you with the AV side of it. But there's definitely some strength in being able to look to a woman and see, well, she's making it work. And also just to have someone else to be like, yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. You know, when there were two of us in the office, and now I work with a lot of, you know, quite a few women. But you know, that I just remember the first time there was another woman in the office with me, and it's, first of all, you finally get someone telling you that they like your shoes, but but just to say it, you know, yeah, you're not being oversensitive, you know, that rep should never have said that. That was not cool. Is very powerful because you question yourself a lot. You know, am I just being sensitive? Am I overthinking this? And to have that second, you know, someone that you can turn to and talk to and say, hey, you know, this is what happened. How would you have handled that? I never had somebody like that, and so I consider myself to be very lucky to have figured it out eventually.
It's funny that you say sensitive, Hope, because I think I'm probably not as sensitive based upon previous jobs I had. Like, not that I wouldn't call somebody out if they were like sexually harassing me or something, but most of the time I just give it right back to the guy, so I'm just as inappropriate.
Yeah, so, well, and I think that's how I managed to continue in the AV industry, is that I just swear like a sailor and then I'm like, hey, tell them to shut up.
So Stacy, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think that you have a great article that most of us have seen go around LinkedIn that discusses how gender stereotypes are being challenged.
Right. Yep. And it's actually, so it's a hashtag on Twitter. It was never addressed. And then that's also a website, itwasneveraddressed.com. So if you go there and read it, it kind of just talks about how was it supposed to ever be a woman in a dress? Is that what was intended with that image that you see on women's bathroom doors or whatnot? And all they did on this website was they colored in the color of a shirt, and then they made the kind of triangle shape of the dress look like a Superman cape. And I think that that's really a great idea, because I understand, especially if you're a working mother, that not that dads don't do things, but I think that being the mom, you have it a little, there's a lot more on your plate than just if you're a dad. Not that it's just
a dad. As we can hear in the background.
Right. My kid's screaming upstairs because dad's trying to deal with her. But it is. And if you look at it, you know, when I started working for Vadio 13 years ago, I think now it is, it was five of us. It was me and four dudes. And so for me, being the only girl, it wasn't that big a deal because those guys are all like my brothers. So it wasn't that hard because there was only five of us. But I can't imagine being a Hope or Krista and going into a big company where it is all guys, and you're this girl that walks in and they're all like, oh, really? You are gonna do this job? Because I even get it on the phone sometimes. Someone will call and they'll be like, well, is there someone else there that can help me? And I'm like, trust me, I'm giving you the right answer. So I think that what this website and the hashtag and all that is trying to promote is that girls can do other stuff. They can do the math, the science, the technology. It's not just we're going to be teachers and nurses. Not that they aren't great career paths, if that's what you choose to do, but you can be open to other things. There's other things out there.
Yep, you're exactly right, Stacy. And, you know, I think part of what this council does as well is illustrates, it demonstrates that women can also take these strong leadership roles. So Joanne Bélanger, the former president of Infocom and now the president of LSC, and also the president of Freeman, is such a powerful, strong leader in the industry and a real inspiration to women. And so it gives us a sense of, gosh, what we do today in our everyday jobs is, you know, that's great and I'm making strides, but there are some women that have made impact in our industry that can really serve as mentors to us. So,
and that's really something that, even having been with Vadio for 13 years, that I really wasn't even aware of until maybe 2 years ago, that, hey, there are great women out there and they are doing big things just as much as all the guys are.
Yes. Yes. You're exactly right. Right.
So that's kind of what, I don't know if anyone else has any feedback on that, but.
Hope, what's your feedback? Come on, let us sip from your trunk.
All right. Are we, are we ready to talk programming? Well, I was trying to think of how to connect programming to Women of Infocom, and Krista said, well, you're kind of a woman, so.
Only kind of. She's not quite fully there.
Mostly a woman. So she was just sort of curious about how I got into Crush Run programming, just because there are so few of us that they can be counted on two hands. Maybe there may be more. There may be more. He may have just forgotten a few of us, the guy I was talking with. I was a there's a stormtrooper. Sorry, I'm so easily distracted.
You were a stormtrooper? Oh, yeah.
Johnny has a stormtrooper. It's not May the 4th anymore, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
No, it's over. They hung over.
You got May the 4th, Cinco de Mayo, and then, you know, what do you do for the 6th?
It's today Revenge of the 6th. It is.
Yeah, it is Revenge of the 6th.
Oh, wow. What a week.
Yeah. Basically, I was a computer science major. We were the class that had so many women because there were three of us.
Wow.
And I think there was maybe one ahead of us, maybe one below us, maybe even none below us in the grade below us. But yeah, there were three of us in my cohort. I remember being a teaching assistant for, I can't remember which class it was. It may have been machine organization and assembly language, which is pretty much the nerdiest class you can ever take. And the professor was a woman, and I was a woman, and there was not a single woman in the class. And we both put our phone numbers up on the board for, you know, so if anyone needed help or whatever, and it was like someone made a comment about, like, you've never given your number to this many people at once. It was super awkward. unfortunately graduated in 2004, right after the dot-com bubble burst. So there were not a lot of jobs for developers at the time. So I sort of made my way into IT. I worked at a university, started working on the classrooms. I'm a musician, so I started working with the AV group, then sort of started running the AV group, then started working for a commercial integrator, and then kind of came around full circle, and one of our programmers left, and I applied for his job, and that is how I became a Crestron programmer. And now I also program Control 4 and some Savant.
That is a way better story than how I got into the industry.
Me too.
How did you get into the industry, Krista?
Oh man, before this I worked at AAA. So I provided triptychs directions. I did like travel agency for domestic, like hotel, car, rentals, and my husband was the AV nerd, and he came home talking VGA, SVGA, and all this, and I went home talking about ba-bam, 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 Hawaii, and we just couldn't talk to each other. And then he heard of an opening at my old company, so I applied for it for inside sales support. And I started working, and then I remember, like, within the first week, I came home. I'm like, I know what VGA is. So I just started to learn it because I love to learn. I'm fascinated. I wish I was better at math because then, Hope, I could be your 11th Crestron programmer, but I just can't do algorithms to save my life.
You know, they've actually done studies about that, Krista, and people think that they're bad at math or that they're good at math, and it actually tends to be, you know, a little bit of math, and so you're more receptive to it, and it's really just about the work that you put into it.
I'm pretty sure I'm bad at math.
most people who think they're bad at math sort of are like, I'm bad at math, and they give up. And it's the people, basically my mom was a teacher and she taught me long division before anyone else did. And then I had a head start. And so then I was quote unquote good at math. And then I was all set.
Well, you know, it's funny because even my husband will admit this now, because I've been doing this so long, I have more certifications than he does. So I've way surpassed him. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the nerd of the family. So.
My husband's a sysadmin. Well, now he's in sales, but he's like a networking IT guy. So yeah, we nerd out too.
At first, I thought you said sissy admin. That's what I thought.
No, he's all man.
So speaking of all man, I want to hear from Chuck Espinoza. He is definitely all man.
And oh my!
Hey, who's Chuck wearing tonight, by the way?
I am wearing my Kelly Perkins shirt.
And why are you wearing your Kelly Perkins?
I'm wearing my Kelly Perkins shirt because Kelly was supposed to be joining us. She was.
I knew someone was missing. But
I got an emergency text from Kelly, and she said the car that I've been waiting for a month from the dealership has just gotten in. Brand new car, had like
tonight
1 mile on it tonight. So she ran to the dealership and we were texting each other, and she's like, yeah, they're detailing it right now. And I'm like, dude, it's cool. You know what? I wouldn't be on this show if Corey didn't force me to. So I totally
understand
it. Like, if you have something better to do, like root canal, and you need to go do it.
Chuck comes on the show because I say you have to be here.
Hey, Rich, the next time we have Kelly on the show, you tell her how you gave up going to the cigar lounge with my husband tonight to be on the show.
Exactly. Hey, Jane and Aaron, anything you want to say to Kelly for, you know, she was supposed to be here, but, you know, anything you want to say?
Absolutely. I would like to point out that actually this is the second time she's missed the show. It was the first time. Concert. And the second time was for a new car. So what we really take from this is that Kelly is living the glamorous life.
She is living
the music.
So I wore my special Kelly Perkins shirt in honor of Kelly being here tonight.
There you go.
Now I just seem like a creepy stalker because I have a shirt with Kelly on it.
Oh, hey Chuck, power up.
Hey, power up. So this is your power up. This is that little nugget, that little power pill, that little mushroom that's going to make you better. And I usually make these up as I go along, so nothing's really planned out. But I actually thought about this one. It kind of fit into our segment. So my whole AV power up is about picking the right mentor. And it's something that is really a tight subject for me. There's an old quote that I like to throw out from Thucydides said, he is best who is trained in the severest of schools. And that's something that the Navy SEALs adopted as a motto. And it's all about how you learn and who you learn it from. There was another author, Bonnie Marcus. She writes for Forbes, and she did a whole big article on choosing the right mentor to advance your career. I'm a big proponent of teaching, and I'm a big proponent of learning. And I've been very fortunate in my career to have some very good mentors. When I was young in the AV industry, I had Tom Kerr, who was an instructor for Infocom, a very good instructor who I'm somebody that I'm very privileged to call a friend. Mario Maltese and Jim Maltese at AVR, who have given me tons of guidance and tutelage. And, you know, picking these guys to learn from, Pat Brown from SynodCon, picking these guys to study from and getting the right things have really helped out my career. And I like to read a lot, and I read a lot of blogs. And it's occurred to me that, you know, this day and age in the industry that we're in, with the information, the way it travels, you can read anything about anything from anyone on the internet. So you really have to pick who's the subject matter expert on that topic, and if you're going to read it. I mean, if I'm going to read a blog on BYOD by Corey Moss, I know I'm going to get something that's spot on. Corey really knows his BYOD. Now, if it's DYOD, like doing your own dishes, Corey doesn't know jack about that. So that's totally off the market.
I think that's been proved.
So, I mean, you have to really choose your blogs and your authors and your mentors. You know, you can't just go on some random site and read a blog about 4K or HD based T from somebody who works with bent metal all day. It's just not going to work. So you really have to pick who you're getting that knowledge from. I mean, they say, knowledge is the food for thought, but seriously, you can really get served a poop sandwich sometimes. And you can read this stuff online from people who don't know what they're talking about. And if you take it to heart, it's not going to work. So find good mentors, find good teachers, find good people who are going to steer your career in the right way and who aren't going to feed you poop sandwiches and flush you down the toilet. That's the AV power up for this week.
Hey, well scripted, Chuck, I must say.
I love that, Chuck. That is fantastic. I also love
that. And thanks for the little publicity there, by the way.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that the continuous theme for this show is somehow poop or turds comes up every week.
How did we go there?
So speaking of non-poop and non-turds, I'd love to hear about stuff and things from Johnny.
And how do you know that comes with what?
I was going to say, are you sure that's what I was going to talk about, is non-poop related things? I feel like that's the thing. I had one of those days.
He had a day.
Well,
he's going to poop on somebody if he was a bird.
See, that's where I was going. If I was a bird, I'd totally poop on somebody. I know. And I'm not even sure if I want to talk about that right now because it's poop related. We're here to talk about
it. Where did we go wrong here? I don't know.
We could talk
about it. It was all me. I'm sorry.
It wasn't you, but that's okay. You're excused.
We could talk about beer, since Chuck is like a beer person, and like how other beers out there are not so good beer. Chuck, what kind of beer are you drinking today? Let's talk about that.
I am drinking tonight. I am taking down some Samuel Adams Summer Ale. Oh. Samuel Adams, brewed fresh in Boston. Hope knows all about this. Brewed fresh in Boston. This is a wheat ale brewed with lemon peel and grains of paradise, and it was made with sprinkles of unicorn horn, and it was brewed on a rainbow.
Is that, you know, better?
Does Rave profit from these endorsements? I don't know.
Oh, you mean that Sam Adams sponsorship fell through? So tonight I'm drinking Costco Light. Costco.
Work something out. My dad prints all their T-shirts.
Really?
Oh, and wow. He gets paid to deliver the T-shirts and beer.
How are we just hearing about this?
I've
been holding out all this time, Hope.
Road trip. T-shirts.
You know how famous you are for this show right now with this information?
Yeah.
Wow.
My company does not do their AV though, because.
We'll get some. We'll take care of that. Don't worry. Don't you worry.
Is Costco Light better or worse than Bud Light or Coors Light?
It depends on how much they paid in sponsorship dues that month.
Well, I've never had Costco Light, but I know Bud Light is like the ghost of a dead lemon. Or like if like a nickel could urinate, it'd be like that. Or I had one more. Oh man. But it's in that range, right? It's like a flat soda that a homeless guy uses to wash off the dirt.
Well, you know that joke about Coors Light is like a canoe, right?
The canoe.
Well, how is Coors Light like a canoe?
They're both water.
Oh, I messed that one up already. It's like
that
having,
was the answer
like
you were having, going with, right?
Like having sex in a canoe. There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Well,
hey, Johnny, was that a stuff a thing or was it totally immaterial?
It was.
That was stuff thing. And things that yeah. was.
That was unrelated to the show. I don't know. I'm on a team.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. You know, we need
to start again.
We had such a fantastic show up until this point that, you know what, poop and things and beer and canoes, it can handle it.
Poop.
This is the part of the show where we want to talk about hot jobs. So we have a new person reading our hot jobs.
We have a new person on the show? Another new one?
Yeah, because
Corey,
we got tired of you scaring off our three listeners, so we wanted to give somebody else a chance to talk about the jobs.
You think we'll gain another listener from this?
I don't know. We had like four guests and two listeners one time. Like the guests didn't even hear themselves.
Well, I see Aaron already left the show, so although there's Aaron. Hey, Brad, are you still with us?
What?
He was napping.
What? Who am I on hold with? I want to return my Vitamix.
Brad took a nap while we were doing the show.
No, I'm here.
Aaron got a call. Was it important, Aaron?
It was from my son, so I consider that very
important. Oh, yes. You definitely take that call from your son. Absolutely.
Perfect.
I'm back.
Who wants a new job? Anybody? No?
I thought Richard was coming to apply for the one I got open.
Oh yeah, Rich, did you take that trip to Minnesota?
I mailed my resume.
What do you mean mailed? You were supposed to show up at the door with it. Mailed it.
I put a stamp on it.
The mailman lost your resume. Good going.
Is the job working for Stacy? Because I heard that was a thing.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Let's hear about that job.
And Stacy hires for the job too.
Yes. But you have to address her as mistress. Yes, mistress.
Sold? Question mark?
Oh, okay. All right, let's reel this thing in.
Yeah.
All right, Rich.
No, wait. Okay, so actually, to start this, Rich is going to read the hot jobs. He's been prepared. We talked about this before the show. Rich called me to ask me how to do it, and I told him how to do it, and we went over it 15 times, and I think he has it. Okay? But before Rich reads the hot jobs, the Tier PM hot jobs, I'm going to read a Tier PM resume tip, and this coming to me from Marika at Tier PM. And so the tip is, include a project highlights section on your resume, taking that extra step of having a list of key projects, budget, and technologies worked will propel you above other applicants who don't showcase that experience on their resumes. So, list the key projects, budgets, and technologies, and you'll be ahead of everybody. What do you think, Hope? You like that tip, Hope? Huh? Hope.
Everyone, take a deep breath. Relax.
Help us, Hope.
We have no hope currently.
We have no hope. On some shows, we have no hope.
There's no hope for any of us.
No, there really is no hope for any of us. Anyway, so that is the Tier PM resume tip. Tier PM is a staffing and recruiting company in the AV and IT industry. They do great work. You see them on Twitter all the time, at Tier PM. And now we're going to turn this over to Rich Privetti, his maiden voyage, reading the hot jobs of the week. So, Rich, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. What's the first one?
Well, job number 300 is software programmer, multimedia systems based in Newark, Delaware. The ideal candidate will have at least 1 to 2 years of recent programming experience with HTML, C Sharp, and C++, and .NET programming. Candidates who have knowledge of programming AV control systems such as Crestron AMX or Extron are preferred. That is job number 300.
Wow. Well, hang on a second. Hang on. Hope, is that C sharp or C hashtag?
That's C sharp.
So it's not like Twitter. It's not C hashtag. Right. You need to program Twitter.
No.
You sure?
No.
So does that just mean everything's up a half step?
Quarter step.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, please continue.
Yes. Here we go. Job number 305 is AV project manager located in Glen Burnie in Baltimore, Maryland area. The ideal candidate will have at least 3 to 5 years of recent AV industry project management or design engineer experience working with video conferencing and or telepresence projects.
Good job, Rich. You want it?
No, actually, I'm going after the third one.
Oh, Rich wants the third one.
Yes, so, there is one more.
So everybody listening out there, the second one is available for you, but the third one Rich wants first crack at, you know, but if he doesn't get that job, it's all yours. So Rich, go ahead, read that third one.
Well, the last job on today's list is job number 307, control systems programmer. Crestron, Hope, here's another shot for you. AMX or Extron, located in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Valley Forge is right outside of King of Prussia. Great shopping area for those of you who don't know the area. We have a candidate must have audiovisual control system programming experience with Crestron, AMX, or Extron. The client is willing to provide some training on the job and is also open to candidates who have at least 1 year of experience in control systems programming.
Now, let me get this straight. You want this job, Rich?
Yes.
You may need a CTS for this job.
Sorry, Corey.
You know. You may need a CTS for this job.
I'm sure he's willing to study for it because Valley Forge is right down the road from Rich. So hey, it's
an excellent shopping area.
Hey, Brad. Yes. Hey, Brad. Judgment call on this. You think Rich needs a CTS for this one?
If it says he needs a CTS, then he needs a CTS. If it doesn't, good luck to you, Rich.
You got a gray area, Rich. Look at that.
I thought everyone needed a CTS.
I think everyone does need a CTS.
I think it's optional.
I asked my plumber the other day. He came over to unclog my sink, and I'm like, you got a CTS, bro? He's like, no. I'm like, get out.
Find the plumber with a CTS. There you go.
We've got an electrician on staff. He's got a CTS.
Oh, there you go. Okay. What about refrigerator repairmen? You think they should have CTSs?
Sure.
Why not?
Sure, why not, right?
Yeah. I say this should go out to anybody in the technology fields, no matter what. Okay? Get a CTS. There you go. All right.
And how do they go about doing that? Where can they go and find education on that?
Good question. And where can you go to get your CTS and training there?
Help us out, Brad.
Get a book.
any specific book, like The Good Book, The Andromeda Strain, or what are you looking at?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Yeah, Prime.
It actually is available on Amazon, the CTS Study Guide by someone who you might know is familiar around here, Brad Grimes. And there's a lot of good knowledge in that book. I actually went through the first book, and I was not very happy with it. And I don't think Brad was either because he took it upon himself to do a second book. And his second book is much better. Mm.
Hey, while we're talking about good reads, Jane, Aaron, any good reads out there you guys recommend?
You know, Lean In is a great book. I highly recommend that. Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend it for Rich?
For Rich, I would still recommend Brad Grimes' CTS curriculum book.
There you go. Okay. All right, but get that other one too, Rich. That might be a good one. You know.
Is there a CTS for Dummies book?
Well,
there should be.
Like Eclipse Notes, perhaps.
If you're a dummy, you cannot get your CTS, Johnny. Come on.
Best answer ever. That's all I wanted to hear. I just want to make sure. So I'm going to walk away from that conversation.
Yeah, okay. Don't, excellent. Don't have that conversation with Hope. She'll get a little angry on you.
So, yeah, anyone who's listening who maybe has not gone down the path of getting your CTS yet, if you go to infocom.org, you can sign up for the test. You can sign up to take pre-tests to prep you for it. There's all sorts of information at the Infocom website to help you get the study guides you need to take and pass the CTS exam.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we focus mostly on women of Infocom Network, as well as a few other assorted things. So going on Infocom International's website, there is a section specified dedicated to women of Infocom Network. It gives a little description, the mission. There's a picture of Erin, Women of Infocom Network Committee Chair. So it's also talking about activities. And of course, the Women of Infocom Breakfast at Infocom 2015. Erin, please just tell us about that.
Absolutely. Again, there's the Women of Infocom Breakfast at Infocom on Thursday, June 18th. from 7:30 to 9:30 in the morning before the show floor opens. And we are having Horn join us. She knows last year, and we've invited her back again this year because she's such a powerful speaker and really helps individuals brand themselves. And so everyone was really excited about that. So we're excited to bring her back again this year. Directly after the breakfast, we will have the very first council meeting for WIN from 9:30 to 10:30 in the same ballroom. So we encourage anyone that has become a member of WIN to join us for the first council meeting. And I think, Corey, again, what I would reiterate is this is a council that is meant for both women and men that support women in the technology and AV industry.
And sign up fast because the seats are going to get sold out and you won't be able to come.
True.
And you know what I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, in the show write-up, we're going to include links to learn more and register, mm-hmm. which you can do here. And you do have to register for the breakfast. However, for the WIN kickoff meeting, it says no registration is required, and all InfoComm members are welcome to the kickoff meeting, right?
Correct. To join the council, you do have to be an InfoComm member, but right. that is the only requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And fill out the form on the site. Answer the questions. That's true.
Right. It seems very simple to do. And men, women, everybody out there listening and are already aware, please do. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Perfect. So this is the time of the show where we all get sad because we have to call it an end.
And again, we have to do this. Every week we do this. We have to end this show.
We do.
Against
your will, but for the pleasure of our three listeners. I think
we still have three listeners, yeah. Hopefully, after that.
I want to say thank you very much for Brad Grimes for calling in and talking to us and educating us about InfoComm. And I want to thank Jane and Aaron for educating us about with the WIN Council and everything else that they've discussed tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, so, terrific. Thank you.
So on behalf of Johnny Stuffing Things Moda, Rich, I'm talking here, Pravetti. Hope, I'm the smartest girl you'll ever meet, Roth.
She's the smartest girl in the whole world right
yes,
now.
Amen. Yes, yes. Stacy, I'm just so adorable. You can't believe it, Kringlin.
And Stacy is also the smartest girl in the world right now.
Chuck, I would drink bacon if possible. Espinoza.
Chuck is not the smartest girl in the world right now.
I am not.
But he is wearing one of the smartest girls in the world right now.
He is. He's wearing Kelly.
Uh-huh. That just sounds weird. People can't see it. They think I have like some funky skin suit on.
It puts the lotion on Chuck.
Help us, Krista.
I'm almost there. I'm now at the
you
point.
You always just almost get there.
Almost
and we
there.
Just go off.
Yeah. So on behalf of Corey, Paper Plate Moss, and yours truly, Krista Bender.
That's me, Paper Plate.
Tonight. I want to thank you for listening to AV Power Up, and we hope that you found it entertaining and enlightening.
And that was AV Krista. Also the smartest girl in the world. You've been listening to AV Power Up, and see you next time.